it off again?
No, it's on.
Okay. All right. So thank you all for being here this morning. I can't say thank you enough for spending time with us this morning. I believe that God has a word for us, and God does not gather his people for just to have fun. And when God gathers his people, it's for a reason and it's for a purpose. And I believe that you're here by divine appointment. You did not stumble here this morning. I believe that before you were formed in your mother's womb, that God had ordained this day, and that God wants you to know why you're here this day. So thank you so much for coming, and I'm really excited about what we're going to hear today and what we're going to learn today. I believe that the Spirit of God is speaking at these last days. And one of the things that we have to be aware of is, what is really God saying to me personally before you hear what God is saying to the body of Christ? Because it's through individuals that God brings together the body, that revival begins with individuals that are hungry for revival. And one of the tactics of the enemy in this day and season is the spirit of worry and the spirit of anxiety. And what the devil's aim is to make us so worried and so anxious that we lose focus on what God wants us to do in our daily life. So I believe that God has this message. And I know that many of us listening or who are going to listen online, you will relate with what is going on, not only in your life, but in other people's lives. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, I will ask that you possess my lips, that you will take away any preconceived ideas, and that you will move in this room. Father, I say that you have your way. Spirit of the living God, you are in the worship. You've been with us in this service. And now I just want to surrender to you. I surrender my mouth. I surrender my lips. I surrender my mind right now in my thought life. And Father, I just ask that your pure word will go forth to change and to heal us and to motivate us and to encourage us. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to look at your neighbor and say, stop worrying and start living. Okay, we're going to change it and say, I am going to stop worrying and start living. Amen. You see, the mind is always constantly searching and constantly wondering on what's going to happen tomorrow. The mind will want you to dwell on tomorrow and in the future and not what is going on in your life right now. The devil is so afraid of people that live in the moment. People that are conscious of where they are now and what is going on in their lives. And therefore, his assignment is to make everybody worry about tomorrow and about the future, and they forget that there is a today, that the Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made, that I will rejoice and be glad in it. And therefore, the sorrows of today, if they are not addressed, they become the sorrows of tomorrow. And so the cycle goes on and on and on and on. But the Bible warns us about this very thing. Now, you will agree with me, research has come up and they have said that there has been no society that is so developed and so advanced like the modern society we live in right now. So there is, if there was a society that is so aware, everything has been advanced. We have technologies. We have breakthroughs in the medicine world. But yet we find that this is the most generation and the most world that is really been affected by worry that begins from fear and anxiety. And so I was reading a book recently, and this researcher said, modern developed societies are the safest, healthiest, and most prosperous that they have never existed. So we might expect that their citizens would have low levels of anxiousness. Nevertheless, surveys inform us that the public reports more anxiety disorders now than in the past. These studies indicate that anxiety is the single most common class of mental illness. Almost one in five people has had an anxiety disorder during the past year, or more than a quarter population. Now, what does the Bible say? If we go to the book of Matthew 25, the book of Matthew 25 says, let's read, if you can read that far. Matthew 6, it's the one that you want, brother. Okay, 6, okay. Let's read. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than the food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to this life? So, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's telling them on how much our heavenly Father cares, that he feeds the birds of the air, that our heavenly Father clothes even the flowers. Our heavenly Father cares for us more than he cares about the birds that he feeds. And so why we worry? Why people constantly worry are just the basic needs of life. What to wear, what to eat. Those are the basic things that really generate worry. I don't have a job, so you start getting worried about it. I have not saved enough money for retirement, so you start worrying about it. But God wants us to know that there is nothing that we can resolve by being worried. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to know that our heavenly Father knows that we are more valuable. You've never seen a rose that stopped being a rose because things happened around it. Even when there is no water, the rose will grow. It might not produce the most beautiful flower, but it still remains a rose. A lion in the forest still remains a lion, even when there is no meat that it will eat. But, you know, children of God, time has come where we have to be on purpose, not to worry. You wake up in the morning and you feel like there are things that are not going your way. Just surrender your day to the Lord. Father, I just surrender this day unto you. I'm not going to be worried. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm not going to think about the things that I don't have. And unless we become conscious, and unless we become intentionally, you know, the Bible says that since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent shall take it by force. You know, you're not going to conquer worry by just praying. There is more into prayer. You know, there is your part and there is God's part. You know, the word of God says that we need to saturate our minds with the word of God. So when you're going through situations that are occupying your mind, you know that you need to saturate your mind with the word of God. There is no other way around it. You know, sometimes When I mentor people, even myself, if you go to my bathroom, you will know what season I am, because I'll be pinning those scriptures along the wall. I think my husband wonders what's going on, but I will purposely station or position myself for victory. I am not going to brush it under by saying I'm going to pray about it. I will pray, but I will also saturate my mind. I will take steps to make sure that the devil has no place in my life. And I want to encourage you that it's time for us to really say, spirit of worry, you are not going to get me. Spirit of anxiety, I am not gonna be controlled by you. And as you do that, saturate your mind with the word of God. In the book of Matthew 6:11, the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. So that tells me, you know, if we go back to the Old Testament, Pastor Mark, the Bible says that when God provided for the children of Israel who had just crossed the Red Sea, the Bible says that when they started murmuring that they had no food, God provided them food for that particular day. And the Bible says that if some of them tried to sneak food into their houses, the food went bad. You know, it got rotten. Why? Because the specific instructions were they were to eat that food for that day and wait for another day to eat food to be provided by God. So that tells me that God wants us to live one day at a time. Live one day at a time. Don't try to live for tomorrow. Try to enjoy today. Try to say, God, I know you have this day. God, I know that this day is going to be victorious. Lord, I know that this is the only day that I have to make amendments. Lord, I know that this is the day that I need to do what I must do. God, this is the only day that I'm assured of living. And as you live one day at a time, you notice that the burdens of tomorrow are not hanging over your shoulders. You start enjoying your day, and when the new day begins, you take the same steps and say, God, this is a new day. I have never lived in this kind of day before. This is Saturday, the 14th of July 2018. I've never lived this day before. God, what is in store for me? Lord, show me what I need to do. This is my to-do list, God. Change it if you have to change it, but I'm going to enjoy this day. Now, enjoying your day is not because there is absence of troubles or of absence of problems. It is really knowing that it's got nothing to what you're going through, has got nothing to do with you, but it's an attack from the enemy. And therefore, you should know that everyone else goes through what you're going through. And I'm not trying to minimize what you go through, but what I'm trying to say is that the enemy will want to make you feel like poor thing. You're the only one who is going through this. Paul says that, you know, there is no temptation that has come over you that is not common to man. But in every temptation, God provides a way of escape. So you need to tell the enemy that what I'm facing today, there is a brother, there is a sister that has faced this issue and they have come over it. And I'm going to conquer. I'm going to join the victors. I'm not a victim in my issue. I'm a victor. I'm going to rejoice. Though I don't see the answer, but through the eyes of faith, I see that God is working on my behalf to provide, to give me that what I want, to reverse my situation, to bring healness, even when the doctors have said you cannot be healed, to reverse your situation, even when man has said there's nothing that can be done about your situation. Praise the name of the living God. Now, worry is allowing our minds to dwell on what we are going through. So the word of God says, do not worry. You know, Jesus does not say, please try not to worry. Oh, baby, you know, please don't. No, he says, do not worry. It's a command. What happens when you have been given a command and you don't obey it? There are consequences for disobeying this statement from Jesus. Do not worry. And so the consequences are you start fearing. When we worry, all we are saying is, God, I don't trust you enough. God, I can fix this. Lord, I know somebody that can fix my issue. When we worry, what we're trying to say is, God, can I show you how you can help me? When we worry, what we are trying to say, God, can I trust you enough? I've seen people that are going through this issue that I'm going through, and they've been defeated. But let me tell you, when it comes to a relationship with God and you, it's personal. Others may have fallen through the way, but make up your mind that you're going to be among those who will succeed. You will be among those who will come up high. You will be among those that will triumph. You will be among those that have overcome. You will not be part of the statistics of those that have failed. The Bible says, do not be afraid. You know, some people are more prone to worry and anxiety. And the sources of that could be how they were brought up, how they grew up, what they have gone through. All these are contributing factors of why some people are more prone to worry than others. Or the conversations that you've had from people. People have told you, you know, they have told you what has happened, or they have told you will never make it, or they have told you in your generation people have ended up in jail, or people are drug addicts. They have told you all these facts that when you start noticing any trend, you fall into fear. Oh, maybe I'm becoming like my cousin. Oh, maybe I'm becoming like my brother. Oh, maybe I'm becoming like my grandfather. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You belong to a generation that has been bought by the blood of Jesus. And so you can cancel every generational curse of the enemy. You can say, my generation has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And therefore, I'm not going to be part of what the other generation has suffered. I am going to have good health. I'm not going to be part of the mental issues that have run in my family. I'm not going to be part of the depression that has gone on in my family, because I am hiding myself in the Lord. I am obeying what the Word of God says. I am going to renew my mind. My mind is going to dwell on the Word of God. The Bible says, he keepeth them in peace whose mind stayed upon him. So it has to be a daily conscious decision that your mind will be found stayed in the Lord and not in your troubles and not what people are going through, but what God is letting you see in the Spirit. Now, you'll find that today, more than half of the population of people in the hospitals and in jail are there because of some nervous or some mental illness or anxious anxiety disorders. And I believe that this is a tactic from the enemy, because so long as you have your mind, so long as your mind is sober, you can serve the Lord. So long as your mind is sober, you can think of those things that are lovely, those things that are of good report, those things that bring God the glory. But when your mind is not in order, then you cannot serve God. And that's what the devil wants. But I came to announce to you that tactic of the enemy will not prevail, because the enemy is being exposed. We are going to live our lives on purpose. We are going to wake up every morning on purpose. And we're going to say, it's not about how I feel. feel. It's about what God says. It's not about how I you know, you at times you wake up in the morning and you honestly don't feel like going to work. And most of us work because we want that paycheck to pay the bills. But I'm here to tell you that God can bring you to that place where you will enjoy your day, enjoy your work, even when you're not being paid for it. You go in because you know that is where God has planted you to be, and you're going to flourish in that place where God has called you to be. You're not gonna walk along the corridors of the office feeling like there's something wrong with you, because that is also part of what the enemy does, that you live fearfully. You're worried about what people are thinking about you. You're worried about, you know, when you see people talking together, you think the enemy tells you they are talking about you. See, the devil does not play games. He doesn't. He hates you with a passion. And don't play games with the devil. You have to make up your mind that you don't belong to the devil, that your life belongs unto the Lord, and the lives of your loved ones belong to the Lord. Even when they drive you nuts, say, Lord, I take my sister, I take my brother, and I bring them to the throne room of God, and I say, God, you do the operation that you only can do. Father, touch their minds, change their lives, Lord. When things become so rough, and you find that maybe, I was talking to a lady recently that said, I'm taking care of my mother, my father, and also my uncle and my auntie who are, you know, over 90 years old. And she said, I just feel so overwhelmed. I know it can be really overwhelming. But even it's so more overwhelming when we try to do things without the strength of God. And so we have to ask God to strengthen us in our daily activities so that we don't fall into worry and anxiety and depression. You will never be prepared enough for things or problems that come up in our daily lives. But you can position yourself knowing that whatever comes, I am ready. Whatever comes, I am ready. Some things just happen. So you'll never be prepared for what happens, for everything that happens. But I think the best way to prepare for any battle is to position yourself. Like Paul says, put all the old armor of God. He doesn't say put on a half of it, but the old armor. You don't put it down. You know, our daughter standing back there videotaping. She's in the Marines, and so at times she'll call me videotaping, and she has all her gears on. I'm like, God, what's up? You know. And I understand that you know, that's our uniform. You know, right now if you look at her, you'll be like, it's too different. You know, she looks so different. But you know, for us as believers, there is one clothing that we can't take out. It is the old armor of God. So what do you do when you're drawn into worry? There's something that I really want us to talk about here. We talk so much about prayer, and the church, we believe in prayer and we pray. But there's something that we don't do. We can't brush everything under prayer. Because the principle of prayer or answered prayer is based on obedience, and obedience on the word of God. And so if you're not obeying what the word of God is saying on about your situation, you can pray all you want, But your prayers are not going to move the heart of God, because God is not moved by disobedience. God is not moved by tears of disobedience. God is not moved by tears of pain because of disobedience. When you are purposely disobeying God and you think that prayers are going to help, you have to come out. You've got to come out of that place of disobedience and repent and start asking God to help you. So what do we do when we are drawn into worry? Be very, very honest. You know, this morning my husband and I were talking about what it means to be realistic and to be a believer. How do believers really override the things that we should look at before we get into prayer? Because we cannot pray from that place of ignorance. We have to pray from that place of understanding of who we are in Christ. And so when we are prone into worry or drawn into worry, one of the things you need to ask yourself is, what am I worried about? How many of you have been in a house, in your house, and you just felt like something was wrong, and you went to the fridge, you found there was food, you went everywhere, and, you know, you can't put a finger on what is wrong, but you feel like you're concerned. And then you will not know that that's an assignment from the pit of hell, maybe to distract you from what you're supposed to be focusing on. Now, write down what you think is worrying you. And the other, number two, what can you do about it? Okay? So when you go to God, I say, God, I feel like I'm being drawn into worry. I'm concerned about this particular issue, Lord. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a sickness of a loved one. Be able to identify the problem in your prayer closet. Be able to say, God, I can do nothing about it. If that is very true, that you can't do anything about it. And then that is a good place for the power of God. God loves when we come to him and say, God, I can do nothing about what I'm going through, Lord. I need your strength. I need your power. Father, I have no idea. I have no plan, Lord, on this issue. I'm depending on you. Write down the facts about your situation. What are the possible solutions? See, faith is not the ability to disengage your mind. Because it's so easy to say, let's pray about it. But what are you doing about it? What have you done, brother, about this situation? Oh, sister, I've all been praying. I've been fasting. That is all so good. What is the issue? Have you identified what the problem is? What is the root cause of the issue that you're going through right now? Because unless you know the root cause of what's going on, then you cannot resolve the issue. You cannot resolve an issue on the same understanding that it was created. And the other thing, the third thing you need to ask yourself is, what will happen if this issue is not resolved? What will happen if this issue is not resolved? And why is that important? Paul says that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ Jesus lives in me. I believe that Paul got to a point where he said, I really have no control over this life. And I'm going to live this life through the life of Christ. I'm going to live through Christ. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So when you ask yourself, what is the worst that can happen? If you embrace the worst that can happen, you stand a better chance of fighting. Why? Because you have considered everything. And you know, it's like one person went to the doctor and they were told they had cancer and they had 6 months to live. So this guy decided, okay, what kind of cancer it is. He found out the cancer, the consequences, and also he knew the worst that was going to happen, that in 6 months he was going to die. So this guy decided, I'm not going to worry about cancer anymore because I'm going to die anyway. So what am I going to do? I'm going to enjoy my life. And the story says this guy gone into a journey, got into a ship and said, I'm just gonna cruise. I'm gonna enjoy my life because this is the very few months I have. The story ends this way. The man, within 2 months, his cells started developing in his body back. His body started regaining strength and he became well. And when he told the story, he said the power was to embrace the worst and say, there's nothing I can do. And I left it into the hands of God. And I wanted to enjoy my life. You see, when you know the worst, you know, people say, I don't want to know about it. People say, you know, I just want to let it into the hands of God. You and God, wouldn't you want to know what God knows about your future? Wouldn't you want to know the truth about what the consequences of what you're going through is, like God does? Because God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the facts, he has the facts, and he wants you also to know the facts so you can trust him. See, at times when we run from what the worst could be, we are not able to depend on God totally because we think we still have something that we can do. Know what the worst is. Write it down. And then start calmly to improve upon the worst. Prepare yourself and know that you are on God. You and God will never be defeated. I know the truth. So, you know, when we worry, it reminds me of a story I read of these kids that were taken from war-torn environments and they were put in one orphanage. And every night they went to bed, they could not sleep because they were worried about this food that we ate today, is it going to be there tomorrow? And so they worried themselves until they couldn't sleep. Now, the people that were taking care of them came up with an idea. They said, every night, why don't we assure these kids that when they wake up in the morning, they're going to find food? And what happened is that they took bread, slices of bread, and handed these kids, put the bread into the kids' hands, and told them to fold the bread and go to bed. And those kids slept every night holding that bread. They never woke up. Why? Because they knew they had the bread. They were assured about their tomorrow. How about us knowing that God has our back? How about us knowing that he who we have believed is faithful, even when we face death, that he is there. You know, I'm reminded of a young woman who one time we went to see her in the hospital, and we were praying Pentecostal prayers in tongues. We were saying, you will not die, you shall live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And one day we walked into Aga Khan Hospital and we looked at her and she looked at me and she said, Auntie, the angels were here. And I said, Jocelyn, what were they doing? They came for me, and this is at that time. And I said, so what happened? They said, your auntie and your mother are holding you back. Let them, tell them you want to come with me. And so when she told me that, I held her hand, waited for her mother, and when they all came, we held hands and we sang. In pain, but Jocelyn was smiling and she went home to be with the Lord. Why am I saying this? When you know that not even death can separate you from the love of God, you will not allow the very small things of daily life that come up every day to disrupt you from having your peace with God. So today, if you're worried about something, if the devil has had you anxious about tomorrow, if the devil has had you running your mind from one place to the other, you know, there are people that, that when the enemy has your mind in anxiety, it is a prison. And do not, you know, this morning my husband and I were talking on how we cannot take people's anxieties lightly. You know, it's so easy to brush other people, say, why I think she's messing herself up, or I think they are messing themselves up. They should be believing like I believe. You know, we do not have the same resistance, power, or resilience like everyone else. Somebody like me, it's by the grace of God that I did not fall into depression when growing up with what I experienced. I believe that God helped me to develop resilience so that I can help other people. And so do not look at a brother or a sister or a relative that is going through depression and start blaming them for what they are going through. At that very place, that is the place of the gospel. That is the place where you say, I understand what you're going through, and I'm going to be here for you. See, one of the things that the devil does when he brings in worry and anxiety, then mental illness comes in. People want to take away their lives, and that is what the devil wants. But as the church, we have a responsibility to teach the truth and to love them and bring them in and say, I might not have all the answers, but I can help you understand that there is a God that cares, that I also care. See, most people that have taken away their lives, it is because they have felt that nobody cared. Nobody loved them. And that was a lie from the enemy, but they believed it. But we emphasized it by our actions towards them. So don't be so holy. Don't be so self-righteous. You see, I have learned a lot from teaching people at AA, where people walked into the class and they said, my name is Isabella and I am an addict. And the first time I was told to teach that class, I was like, God, I cannot relate. But then I started seeing the love of God. As they shared, I found one guy said, I used to work with the stock exchange, and I lost my family because I was so busy. I worked all night, I worked all day. I didn't have time for my family. I lost my wife. I lost my children, and the stories went on and on and on and on. And I sat there and listened after class. And I said, God, use me to change this life. And so what I want you to do from today is when you see a loved one that has a mental illness, suffering from anxiety, don't write them off. That is a place for the gospel. At times you have nothing to say. Recently, I got a phone call from a friend from the corporate world. And it was actually last month. I just preached my heart out. And my husband said he was going to go run an errand. And I said, honey, I'm going to take a nap. And as I lay there, my phone rang. And I looked at it. I'm like, this is so-and-so. I don't know why they are calling me on a Saturday. But I'm going to pick up the phone anyway. So I picked up the phone and he says, hey, where are you? I said, I'm in the house. What's wrong? He said, I just wanted to let you know that so-and-so's son passed away. And they would really like you to pray for them. And I said, when did this happen? He said, it happened on Thursday. And he said, I said, what happened? And he said, it's hard to, I won't tell you unless they tell you. And I said, it's okay. And so I called this guy immediately and left him a voicemail. But he called me at 5 in the morning, the following morning on a Sunday at 5. I picked up my phone. I froze. Pentecostal me, Holy Spirit filled, speaking in tongues. I froze. I had nothing to tell him. Knowing that he's, was he 21? His 21-year-old had just taken his own life. And all I said on the phone was, how are you? And because he's not a believer, if he was a believer, I could have maybe started speaking in tongues. But I said, I'm so sorry. I'll keep you in prayer. We'll come see you. And that's all I said. And after that, I started praying. Why am I saying this? At times, we become so busy with our mouths because we feel we need to say something. But in the process of saying something, we wound people when they are very vulnerable. It's okay to say nothing. Totally okay to say nothing in some situations. It is okay just to listen. Just listen. A few months ago, I'm almost done here. Several months ago, we were in a pastor's meeting, and this one pastor said, I'm struggling. It's like my faith has been attacked. I'm looking at the Gospels, and I just don't believe anymore in the Gospels. This is a man that has served God for over 50 years. And so all of us, and these are not, actually I'm the only Pentecostal pastor in that group. Others are Presbyterians, Baptists, all these traditional Christian faiths. And so everybody started speaking to him, your brother, that is discouragement. You need to do this, you need to do this. And it's like this guy lost it. And he screamed out loud and said, stop preaching at me. All I want you to do is listen. Could you listen? And the room went quiet. And later on, we talked among ourselves. And we said, he's right. He's right. If you found somebody that is in pain and you started telling them that you know why in their pain, why they are in pain and what they should do in their pain or what they should have done, you might not be helping them. And that's why the Spirit of God comes in. When do you say something and when do you just shut up? Some of us, even parents, have driven our kids insane because we've done so much talking than listening. We've done so to our husbands and wives. We have done so much talking than listening. I'm sorry, today is not a good feel message, but is it okay if I just do what God told me to do? Because one of the things that I refuse to do is just to preach my own message. And so if this message is just for one person, that's okay. But I want to help you. That we need to do more listening. I know there are relationships that we have blown up because we were so quick to say something instead of listening. People are not necessarily looking for answers. They are looking for an ear, somebody to listen. You know, now we are so disrupted. We have TVs in our bedroom. So you'll find a husband comes to bed with a wife and they're watching TV. You're like, what the heck are you together for? Just go to separate rooms and watch TV, because I think that being in bed together means you need to talk to each other, isn't it? So, honey, we're going to take that TV off our bedroom. Amen. We are so busy texting even when people are talking to us. And it's no wonder that movements like mindfulness are sweeping the church. Why? Because people are looking for peace. And we are so much about, let's talk about how the Spirit of God comes and fills you. But unless you yourself has been filled by that Spirit of God and walking in it by example, listening to what he says when you meet people. You know, somebody was mad at me last week because they asked me to call them. And I prayed and I prayed and I couldn't get a breakthrough to call them back. So I text. It's not you, Cindy. You look at me so keenly. And I said, no. What am I going to say? They told me everything that they wanted. And they said, call me. And I prayed. I said, God, because I normally want to pray before I call you. And I said, God, do I call them or do I not? And I felt so strongly that I didn't want to call them back. And so they texted me back and they said, well, I waited for your call all day yesterday and you didn't call me. And I text back, I said, sister, I don't know, but the Lord didn't let me call you. Is there something that, you're a mature Christian. This is what I said. You're a mature Christian. And you know that if the Spirit of God has not released me to call you, you need to know why. So call me and tell me why the Spirit of God didn't let me call you. The phone rang. She was so upset at first on the text. And she said, you're right. But you knew why. I said, I didn't. And so it was, you knew, you always hear from the Lord. And I said, you know, I am so sick of tired of people telling me I hear from the Lord. When I ask you what the issue is, don't think that God has told me everything and then put the burden on me. God shows me very little, and he shows me only when he wants me to know. So I really don't know everything. And so what I'm saying is this. Let's be practical Christians. Let's not just speak in tongues. My God, there is so much power in speaking tongues. There is so much power in praying in the Spirit. There is so much power in living in the Spirit. But that power is only intensified. The Spirit of God intensifies when we practice godliness. That is where the power of the Holy Spirit is. Practicing and applying godliness. So it doesn't matter what you're going through today. Refuse to worry. Make it a point of priority with your loved ones to listen. Me included. My children are sitting here. At times they are talking to me and I'm on the computer. Unless it's something urgent, then I'll stop. So let us really, really live in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Let us live in the moment and enjoy the moment. Well, you know, you're with the loved ones, just enjoy that moment. They might be driving you crazy, but just enjoy the moment. One of the lessons I've learned from visiting my sister in Mountain View is that I have to leave my phone where she places her keys if she's alone. Because she has lectured me for so long about walking into her house and I'm on the phone. And so to make peace, I walk into her house and I put either my phone in my purse or I just leave it in the car if I'm alone, if it's only her in the house. If there are people in the house, I might get away with it. And she says, what's the need of visiting me if you're always on the phone? And so I started understanding that people really need us to be there. So from today, for those of you who know each other, let's hold each other accountable. Where is your mind? What are you thinking right now? Be at the moment. Enjoy the moment. Let's not talk about what you're going through. Tell me about your triumph. Somebody told me last week that if you want to really, if you have an online presence that is negative, what you have to do is to saturate it with positive online presence. I'm like, that's spiritual warfare right there. So you actually need to know how to count your blessings. Lord, I might not have this, but I have this. Lord, I might not have this, but I have this. So when you do that, you glorify God. So don't think that worry has power over you. Worry has no power over you. Anxiety has no power over you. Sadness has no power over you. The blood of Jesus has conquered all. The blood of Jesus gives you the happiness. The blood of Jesus gives you the victory. The blood of Jesus, when you constantly hide in him. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 91 that those that dwell in the shadow of the Almighty God. That is one way of conquering worry and anxiety. You have to dwell in the presence, in the shadow of the Almighty God. You have to fight in your mind. You know, at times, put on a worship music. Put on the book of Psalms. You know, now we have YouTube. You can literally saturate your mind with the word of God. Saturate your mind with the worship. Don't let the enemy have your mind. Identify. Are you able to identify when the enemy is trying to lead you away through a sweet thought that down the road becomes nasty? And are you able to talk back and say, Satan, I ain't going there? Most people that have conquered fear, they say they are too busy. That's one thing I didn't mention. Also, how to conquer fear is keep yourself busy. Get something to do that you enjoy doing. Get out of the house. Go help people. Find a kitchen soup somewhere. Go somewhere. Do something. Be busy. Because the devil loves when you're idle. And then he can feed you with all things that do not come from the Lord. So I came this morning with a message from the Lord. That stop worrying and start living. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise you, 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 we praise you. Hallelujah. Roba shikere baba santara baba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We glorify your name, Lord. Father, we cancel every assignment of the spirit of worry over our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we dismantle every weapon of anxiety. We dismantle every power of negative thoughts over our lives, Lord. And Father, we surrender to you this day, Lord. Father, we say, have your own way in our lives. Have your own way in our homes, in our minds, oh God. And Father, we declare you King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our lives today. Father, you are our provider, Lord God. Father, that you will give us all things freely, oh God. And we thank you and we magnify your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to pray for a few people here. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I break off the spirit of worry. Worry of the future. You have no power over my sister's life. Right now, I pray, oh God, that you will saturate her with your peace that passes all understanding, oh God, that she has fought, she has stood, Lord God. And right now, Father, I release her, oh God, from every bondage of worry in the mighty name of Jesus. Satan, you have no power over her, and you will not dominate. You will not dominate in this life. Father, I give you praise. I give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You have fought. I want to take this off. The Lord shows me that you, for a long time, you have fought the spirit of worry. And at times,